Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, it's the Rad Reality Show. That's right. You've found a place where you can talk reality TV. We have special guests all the time. But let's kick it off with our theme song.
You need to tune in every Monday at 7 p.m., Thursday and Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time.
Welcome to the Rad Reality Show, and if you want to be part of the talk, the best way to do it is to call in. Please participate. The show won't be good without your participation. You know, interact with us and have fun.
I want you guys to know the number to call in. It's 347-237-5506. So we want to hear from you. The show is for you guys.
Today is May 15th, 2014. I'm Cherry Garcia, and I'm happy to welcome everyone to the Reality Roundtable Show on the Rad Reality Show Network. I titled tonight's show Friends Night because I've invited a few very special friends to join us. We've got some special guests that will be joining us from other reality sites. That I can't wait to talk to. This is going to be sort of a fun night. You can invite your friends as well. I think it's awesome that so many of us actually support each other and actually do talk and there for each other in all these reality sites that are out there. And, you know, that's something that some people don't realize, that, you know, we're all friends and we get along and we support each other. And so I thought it'd be fun to have a few of them on tonight and, you know, have their opinions in the mix here tonight. The first person that I want to mention, since we're talking about friends, is my sidekick, Mr. Paul from Minnesota. We've been doing these shows together here on the Rad Reality Show ever since Ron passed away. And he's been here for me and for the fans of this show always. And I want to thank you for that, Paul. And we have our special guest tonight, Kim from Room for Reality and Danny from Big Brother All Summer. I'm so happy to have them with us tonight. We've got so many shows that we want to talk about tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm excited to do something a little different and have a few, you know, other sites join us and join in the chat. So I'm looking forward to it. Paul, how are you up in Minnesota? What do you think about having these special guests with us tonight?
Oh, I'm doing well, thank you, Cherry. I'm always interested in other people's input. That's why we always love to get phone calls from any of the fans. Certainly we enjoy special guests, but the fans are really why we do this show. But if you're such a good friend, Cherry, how come you couldn't arrange for my Minnesota Wild to win?
Huh? Aww. I'm so sorry, Paul. I know what it feels like. I do.
I know
we
you
went
do.
Out first.
Yeah, I know you did. It was a tough loss. All I can say is if it wasn't for Corey Crawford for the Blackhawks in the goal, there's no way that we wouldn't have beat the Blackhawks in this last game. I've already forgotten what night it was.
Believe me, Sunday Crawford night is what took us out as well. So
oh,
I know the feeling.
God. I mean, we
guy is
definitely we definitely outplayed them on the ice, and I don't know if you watched the game, but went 1-1 into overtime, and the name, that guy that I told you I never wanted to hear you mention again on air with me.
Yes.
Did you see the winning goal?
Yes.
Bounced off the backboards, freaky bounce out in front, and whatever. Anyway, the more I talk about it, the more depressed I get, so maybe I should stop.
Rich said that it was because we talked him up on Sunday night that that happened.
Well, you never know. You've got your jinx about picking a favorite on the reality shows and mentioning them, and then they end up going out the next week. Maybe you've got another power that I didn't know. But, all right, I'll blame it on you guys.
Okay, well, I don't want to take the blame for the Wild losing, but because I know how bad that hurts. But we have one of our special guests already on the switchboard with us, so without further ado, let's bring her up and say hello. It's her first time being with us. So first, I want to do this. Danny from Big Brother All Summer, thank you so much for joining us tonight. How are you?
I am great. Thank you so much for that wonderful, warm welcome and for inviting me.
Well, you're welcome.
Well, I want to say hello to you, Danny. I've never talked with you before, and welcome to the Rad Reality Show. It's so good to have you on.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, Danny, before we get started. I've never had the pleasure of talking to you either. What area do you live in? And
tonight,
we were laughing
about the fact that I think out of the shows that are planned to talk about tonight, I think I watch one. But all about Big Brother. I've been watching the live feeds 24/7 since Big Brother 3, and I've been addicted ever since.
Awesome. I'm in that same boat with you. I started watching Big Brother since the very first episode. Didn't really watch the live feeds on the first season, but season 2, I was in there like Flint. I mean, I was total live feeder from season 2 on. And, you know, it just takes over your life. It's like life as we know it changes from the day Big Brother starts until it ends every year. Our lives change.
It does. I don't
Our
have a summer.
Our husbands get neglected.
Yeah. Well, see, I'm really lucky. My husband is as big an addict to Big Brother as I am. So I'm pretty fortunate with that. And he and I, we always laugh, we're kind of opposites on a time schedule. I'm a night owl. So I'm the overnight person, and then he wakes up early in the morning. So it's, we kind of switch, you know, we trade shifts. I go to sleep when he wakes up, and then he takes over the live feed watching while I sleep.
That's
so
really
lucky.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm really lucky that he is such a huge fan, and we've been watching together ever since BB3. But yeah, absolutely. You know, in the summer, when you're a fan, you don't have a life. You live and breathe Big Brother. I've been known to reschedule house closings based on what's going on the feeds, and I do nothing unless it's a Thursday because I know the feeds will be blocked. And that's my summer, and I love it, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
Well, I need to comment here. First of all, I don't know if either of you two caught it, but I did a little boo-boo on the switchboard. I'm normally the second person on the switchboard, and I accidentally muted you for a bit there, Danny, so I apologize. But I want to say this. welcome to the Night Owl Club, right, Cherry?
That's right. My husband also is a big fan of Big Brother, so we're both kind of fortunate in that way. Now, he doesn't watch the live feeds as much as it sounds like your husband does. He works second shift, and so I'm fortunate in a way that I get to stay up late and, you know, watch a lot of the late night live feeds, and because that's when everything is happening in Big Brother, you know, is late night. And
absolutely.
So, you know, it's fun to stay up late and watch what's going on in the house. And with him working second shift, you know, our hours are completely different than the rest of the world. And I don't go to bed until, you know, the wee hours in the morning until, you know, sometimes the sun's coming up. And, you know, that's when everything's going on. So it's fun. And he loves to watch, you know, what's going on. And he loves to hear what's going on. He won't sit down and actually watch it all the time, but he wants to hear what's going on, and he's very interested. And he watches every CBS show with me. You know, we record all of them, and he'll come home and watch every one with me. He watches all the reality shows with me. And so he's just as big of a reality fanatic as I am. And I'm so blessed in that way. You know, if my husband didn't like reality TV, I would be in a world of hurt because, you know, that's all I watch. And so it's fun to have your spouse be as much involved as you are.
It is. It's a great thing, and it's a fun thing to do together. So see, who knew that Big Brother could, you know, be great for marriages too?
Right.
Hey,
we have our second guest with us.
Yeah, go ahead, bring her up, and I was going to have another comment for Danny. Go ahead. This is cool.
Okay. And we have Kim, also known as Yaya, from Room for Reality. Kim, thank you so much for calling in. How are you?
Yeah, thanks for having me again. I feel like I'm at home. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Kim.
we got it worked out. So, Kim, was I helpful enough for you to figure out how to do this to connect up with Skype?
Yeah, I'm Skyping in right now. I have to
cool.
pay long distance, so I'm Skyping in. So if anyone,
uh oh.
You, Kim, if you can still hear us, you broke up. I don't know what kind of computer you have, but if you've got a bunch of other windows open, that could drain the.
Oh, she just dropped.
She just dropped. But Danny, your website or whatever is called BB All Summer. BB internationally is all year round. Do you watch any other Big Brother? Did you get caught up in Canada?
Oh, yes. Got caught up in Canada. In fact, Judd and I had a weekly show, Eavesdropping, that we did about Canada and had some of the house guests as our guest on the show. So we were all about Big Brother Canada, and, of course, I watch UK. And I didn't watch Australia last year because it overlapped with our season.
I know, but it's so cool that Big Brother is an international phenomenon. I mean, I tried a little bit of Africa a couple of years back, but to see that clip of Emmett being a house guest in the South African version, I mean, it's everywhere, and it's not just summertime, man. It's year-round, isn't it?
It is, and I love watching the other series and the other countries, and I'm bummed because it sounds like Australia is going to overlap with our season again. And, of course, you know, our season, BBUS, is always my priority.
Absolutely.
But hopefully I can go back and catch up on Australia because we loved Australia, my husband and I, and we were really disappointed when they canceled it for our time being. And, I mean, he and I still talk about, I don't know if you
Bridget?
Remember this. Yes, the season with Bridget, and when they had Ollie the dog on.
Yes.
And that's
That's when they used to do the Friday night game night. And
yeah.
In fact, my husband and I still to this day will say, too crap for the Daily Show. Do you remember they used to say that?
Yes. That was a disappointment when they canceled that after, I think it was their season 8, wasn't it?
I don't remember the season number, but that does sound right. Around 2008,
yeah,
they canceled it.
I was able to get the live feeds that year. You can send in and give a bogus Australian address or whatever, and I had the live feeds. And we are, for where I live in the Central Time Zone, it was like 13 hours difference. And talk about messing up your sleep schedule. I mean,
yes. But the live feeds were great, and that was a great season. I just loved that season.
Yeah, it was great, and it took a little while to get used to their sayings and their accents, but, I mean, I was on Google saying, what is that saying mean, you know? It was like
right. I know, and I picked up some of them and found myself saying them and, you know, calling sunglasses sunnies and just picking up their cute terms. But, yeah, I do that with every season, just like my husband and I are – somehow picked up the term hundo, and we're using that. And then, in fact, the other morning, he came in and he decided that the way to wake me up was to say, wake up, Canada, wake up. So, okay, we watch way too much Big Brother.
Hey, Cherry, did you figure out what happened to Kimmy?
I have Kim with us now.
Hello.
Kim is now on board with us.
I'm back again. He's almost seven. He walks through the house with his arms like flipping up like Adele. Wake up, Canada! And I'm like, how does he even know that? But yeah, he does it too. I love that.
That's so cute.
I have it on way too much.
Apparently, when your kid is.
Oh.
Picking up on the terms.
But I love it. I hope we don't forget that one. That's a clever one. And I said sunnies, too, all the time with that Big Brother, too. It's funny.
Yeah.
What was last year? What was the big thing last year? Was there anything?
Totes my
goat. I didn't get to watch last year.
Oh, last year Canada or last year U.S.?
Last year, you at 15, Big Brother 15. I can't think of anything. While you guys were talking, I was like, what was Big Brother 15's thing?
Well, two things I picked up from that was Totes My Goats. Well, I picked up a couple things. Totes My Goats. Shady.
I hope you don't say, I don't know.
Yeah. Shady Fox. I still say that. Picked that up. Slut Ever.
Oh, Slut Ever. Yeah, I totally say that
Slut Ever. Yeah. And then, of course, you know. Yeah, thanks, Andy.
Yeah,
and every season I pick
one.
Up something. Every single season I pick up something. In fact, I had said that if and when I'm on Big Brother, that I want to play a game for the live viewers, for the live feed viewers, and say a term or say a word that's associated with the house guest from the past and kind of let them have like a trivia game going on while they're watching the feeds.
I love that idea. This is exactly why we need to get you on Big Brother.
Yes.
Next year.
Just in so many reasons, but you would actually... You're such a fan. You would actually, I think you would talk to us and.
Yeah,
oh, like
yeah, absolutely. You know, and I'd make sure that after the veto comp, you know, every corner I could get into, I'd tell
you
guys who won the POV, you know?
Thank you.
We need to make a list.
That...
We need to really just make a list of all the things we need from the house guests.
That is absolutely true. I mean, it's we do detective work when the feeds come back on after comp, and we're sitting there, we're listening, and we're saying, "Come on, tell us." We're where is the POV? Is it hanging around somebody's neck or is it on the wall? What was the competition like? And if we had a good fan in there, they should basically tell the feeders what the hell happened. It's frustrating, isn't it?
Exactly.
Exactly.
And you can't, and, you know, we all know that they don't always bring the feeds back right away. So if you're a live feed fan, you know you can't just count on telling the live feeders as soon as you come back in the house. You've got to do it almost like every 30 minutes for about 2 hours to make sure they catch it.
That's true. I never thought about that because the house guests don't really know. There's no indicators, I wouldn't think, you know, unless they're having like a special party where they have music and everything and they tell the house guests, okay, you know, you got to stop singing. We're going to be going back to live feeds. They probably don't know when they come back on.
No,
I'm
sure
no,
they
don't.
Singing
is a good indicator. That's smart, Paul. That's it. That's
yep.
it.
Yeah.
Just, I would wear that POV necklace, though. I would be so Jeremy in the hot tub.
Yeah, that one was easy to figure out, wasn't it?
Totally. And when McCray won the superhero one and he was up there in the yellow superhero costume and we're just, like, I remember just staring and, like, holding my breath and then when it came on, I'm like, we couldn't see the medallion, but we could see the necklace, the ribbon.
Right.
And it was just like all of the East Coast was like, yay, I could hear it. So, yeah, we
yeah,
need that.
I was not yaying because I knew that meant that my boy Judd was going. Yeah, this girl was not going yay.
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever. Shady
well,
bug.
Judd's basic. Judd's
he'll be
basic,
better than All-Stars.
Judd's basic downfall was that damn twist.
Yes, the MVP twist.
Yep.
True.
I mean, once it was decided upon amongst, you know, most of the house guests that he was the MVP, I mean, that was the end of it. And, you know, every week, Cherry, remember you and I would keep saying, I wish Julie Chen would come on and tell them, you know, that it was America that has been doing it. And because it really was unfair to some of those people in the house, because the house guests all thought that it was still somebody in the house that was MVP. And it was unfair to those players, in my opinion.
The show would have been totally different if she would have just said that America is voting. You know, just let them know that. The outcome would have been totally different. I'm absolutely sure of it. But
and
because
they would
it
still,
was never
Cherry,
said. Go
well,
ahead.
I was just going to say, Cherry, you didn't get to watch a lot of Big Brother Canada, but they told, and it would still cause controversy and emotions in the house because Canada, they came on and said, you know, Canada is the HOH this week, and as soon as they nominated two people, those two people were devastated that the country hated them enough, you know, and they could have still gotten reactions out of the people if Julie had just said America's the MVP this week. I don't know.
Of course. I agree. I don't know why they never, you know, let the house know, but never
well,
it,
I was ready to revive the banner plane.
I know.
And for those that don't know what we're talking about, back in the day, don't we sound like the old folks? Back in the good old days of Big Brother.
I like it.
There used
those
to be banner planes.
Those were fun days, though.
They
we
were.
We watched Big Brother on AOL.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
You're dating yourself, Kim. But there used
those
to be banner planes
days,
that,
when
that would fly over the backyard, and fans would pay for these banner planes, and it would tell the house guests things that were going on. It was great. Loved it. I wish they hadn't stopped that.
Yeah, now they have to go inside if there's a plane.
Yeah, I think they even they started putting someone from Big Brother at the local airports to watch for banner planes, too.
Oh, that's just crazy.
It is. In fact, when Chicken George came out, he used to be a banner plane operator.
What about a bullhorn? I mean, like, they're sort of accessible, or maybe they're not. In my mind, they're sort of accessible to, like, a bullhorn.
Well,
yeah, that's a good point.
Couldn't somebody get close enough to use a potato gun with a tennis ball in it and shoot over the... Hey, I know you know the answer to this, but humor me. What season is coming up for Big Brother? What number?
16.
16. 16. Why is 16 a big number, Cherry?
Well, it happens to be my wedding anniversary today.
Happy wedding anniversary, Cherry and Rich. Happy 16.
Oh, thank you.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
And I'll even go one further and say happy birthday, Rich, a couple days ago.
Aw, thank you so much, Kim.
All the shout-outs.
Thank
all
you.
Right.
He's not here to say it, but I'll speak for my husband, Rich, and say thank you very much. back in season 2 of Big Brother, Nicole nearly had a nervous breakdown.
That's
because
true.
Of the banner planes.
Yes.
Because they talked about her marriage and her husband getting wind of her behavior in the house and that kind of thing. And that girl, I thought, was actually going to have a nervous breakdown in the Big Brother house because of the banner plane. And, I mean, it made great TV, great live feeds to watch for those banner planes and see what the next one was going to say and what kind of chaos it was going to cause in the house. And,
yes.
Oh, my gosh.
What was the last, was it season 8 or season 9 was the last one for banner planes? I know season 8 had it because remember Danielle Donato on the spider comp? She was, or not the spider comp, but the comp where she was hanging upside down and a banner plane came over. It was for an HOH comp. So I know they had it in 8, but I can't remember if that was the last season.
There have been banner planes since then, but all of them were for non-Big Brother reasons because remember, didn't Jerry fall into the pool looking up at a banner?
Yes.
Yeah, it wasn't Big Brother related, though.
No.
But, yes, he did.
That was one of the funniest moments ever. I mean,
go back and watch that one again.
I loved last year when Andy fell in the pool. Remember that?
So perfect.
Gosh. You know, that pool isn't very big, but then the backyard isn't very big. But you would think that because of how small the backyard is, they would know where that pool is, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, Danny, fall in the pool. When you get on Big Brother, fall in the pool.
There you go.
Okay.
Sherry, just think about, you know, you get used to your house where furniture is, and you probably in the dark could wander through the house without bumping it. They ought to know where they are, but it's funny, though.
I love those
things. It makes for some great laughter, you know, at their expense.
That's what they're there for, to entertain us.
That's right. That's what they put themselves in there for.
Well, John fell in the pool in BB Canada 2 and dislocated his shoulder. So
ouch.
Maybe I'll rethink that request.
So, well, let's start off tonight with Survivor. And then we'll move on maybe to True Tory. But I do want to start out with Survivor. I know Danny watches Survivor, and it was just on last night. And so many of these shows are getting ready to wrap up, and Survivor is one of them. And it has a finale coming up next week, and everything is getting so heated on Survivor. Survivor really shocked me last night. So,
you know what popped into my head at the very end and seeing next week's episode? They haven't had a family day, and they normally have it when there's how many people? There's a whole bunch of people and no family. I wonder why that is.
I don't know why they didn't do it this year. I was kind of surprised about that, too.
Yeah, I was, too. In fact, my husband mentioned that last night, and he thought maybe the family member was going to deliver the pizza, but that wasn't the case.
I wonder if there was a bunch of family members that couldn't make they always can have somebody. If it's not family, they've had, you know, best friends show up. So I don't understand that. It's always one of the highlights every season.
Who knows? It could be budget cuts. You know, I'm sure that's probably really expensive to bring the family members in.
That's true, but it's a staple. I don't like it when they eliminate something like that. Protest!
It seems like this season really got robbed, though, of that moment. You know, because that is something that every Survivor season has. And I think this season sort of got robbed of one of the staples of every Survivor season that we've, you know, been used to. So that's a good point to bring up, that, you know, this season sort of got robbed of that family visit that we've all, you know, grown accustomed to and look forward to.
But, you know, I have to say, and of course I'm going to just sound like some cold-hearted bitch when I say this, but you're out there for 30-some days. Come on. Can you not go 30 days without seeing your loved one?
Considering how long, you know, Big Brother people are in the house for 3 months. So,
right. Yeah, so I say just toughen up, and you'll see your family when you get off the island.
And I think you're right. It probably is very costly to bring all those family members over. So it could be budget cuts.
I don't know. I think they do really well, and then they sort of leave the game. Like it would be so much better for them if they just stayed in the game focused.
Right. I completely agree with that. I mean, I wouldn't want to do that. I wouldn't want to lose my focus and like that. I mean, sure, I'd love to see my husband. Are you kidding me? But, you know, I can wait another 10 days because they do it so late in the season anyway. You're really talking like 10 more days you're going to see your family. So
no
I would much
advantage.
Rather.
It's for themselves
yeah.
at that point.
Right.
And speaking of family days, and I know we're talking Survivor, but it's right along the theme. BB Canada, when they had family or loved ones show up, and how many, they weren't that far away from the end for them either, and what they had to give up or do to see them for such a short period of time. And then they couldn't even, you know, had a glass wall separating them. But I loved Heather. But being banned from the HOH was, I mean, so what?
I agree. I didn't
think
that was a big deal.
It would have been bad if it was earlier. But let's say Sabrina won head of household, which she did. She could have meetings, and Heather couldn't go in there and schmooze and try to save herself. But if there were more people. Like, it was just the wrong – I think it was a brilliant thing to make them do. How bad do you want it? and they tailored the punishment for each individual house guest, but it was way too late in the game. And I don't know why anyone said yes. Why did anyone, like, was there, I don't understand what it was. If you took this consequence, you could see your family member. If you don't take this consequence, you can do something else. I don't know that part of it. If there wasn't that part of it, then go ahead and take the, you know, consequence and play the game. But to me, it was just the wrong time. It should have been
I guess, just started. Yeah, we're viewers, and we always see these families on, you know, show up on these reality shows, and, you know, and we know that there's not that many days left you're going to see them, but they always get so emotional, whether it be letters from home or having a chance to see a family member, and what they're going through is just something we can't relate to, I guess, because I always think the same thing. It's like, come on, get over it.
Well, there are people that actually don't want to win head of household because they don't want the letter. They have to, you know, I've heard the house guests, you know, say that. I just need to stay in the game.
Wow. I'd win head, if that was my thinking, I'd win head of household and just not read the letter then.
We'll see, there's
right?
That part. Brilliant.
I mean, I'm just not a fan of throwing any kind of comp, especially if it's one that gives you a power and safety. You just don't throw a comp.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Ever.
Well,
totally
anyway,
agree.
Got a little sidetracked, Cherry. Sorry about that. But Survivor. Tony.
Danny, I take it you're not a big Tony fan either.
No. I mean, listen, I can admit that the guy is playing a great game. I can admit the cast is playing a great game. Strategically, they are great players. But I watch personal, and I don't like him, and I don't like Cass.
Well,
they should learn. They should learn that part of winning that game is a social game, and some of these players just don't put that in the mix.
I've never seen a Survivor with anyone having this much power at the end of Survivor. And
awful.
I was so confused at the end of Survivor last night. Normally I you know, have notes and I kind of go through the entire, all the comps and all that, but I'm just going to go straight to the end tonight when it showed, all, you know, how everybody voted. I was so confused. I don't know how it came up that Tony voted for Trish.
I was very surprised by that, too.
Holy crap, I didn't see that. Holy crap, I didn't. Wow, that is confusing.
Yeah, they all voted for Trish, except for Trish.
And
he doesn't need Trish. He's safe. He's got the idols. He doesn't need her.
When he played the first idol and didn't give it to her, I was thinking, oh, he made a mistake, and he's just now realizing he made a mistake, and he could have given it to Trish and saved her, and he was sitting there sort of long-faced, and I'm thinking, oh, he just realized what a mistake he made.
No,
because the other idol he can only use on himself. I believe that's the way it read.
Yeah, he can use it on him. He doesn't need Trish to save him. He can either win immunity. He's in the final three. Right now, he's in final three. He's fine. And everyone's going to look at him. I see it strategic. Everyone's going to look at him like everyone in jury hates him. I want to sit next to him. So he feels as though he has some sort of a compelling final argument. But I think it was a very strategic thing to do. Let everyone hate him, And so the remaining survivors will take him to final, since the jury
Well, and Trish is a vote for him on the jury.
Heck yeah.
She doesn't know he voted against her because Jeff didn't read all of the votes.
I wish he – that's another thing I have a problem with. They should all come out, all the votes.
I agree. At least once you're in jury. Once jury has started, I think that they should.
Yeah, I agree. But that's a valid point. She'll never know whether he voted for her or not, and she'll assume that he did not.
Right. Right. And so she's a vote for him in the jury.
Yeah. And she'll make a compelling argument for him, too, and say, look, he got you out. He played the game better than you. Like, and she will. She's such a minion to you.
Yes.
So, yeah, having her in jury was a smart move, and he's safe. He's in final three no matter what because he can save himself next week. If he doesn't win individual immunity, he's still in final three. He's fine.
No, that's not true. He lied about his special idol that he could use it in final four. He cannot. He's lying about it. He is vulnerable next week, but that's the only week.
He can't use it next week?
No, when he pulled him out and told Trish that he had both of them, he said, you know, the one hidden immunity idol he has to play final five, and the special one he can play at final four, and then he went off on his little cameo. I always forget what they call that, but and then he said, of course, I lied. I have to play, you know, this one by final five as well, but I want them to think that I can still play it next week.
Right. I heard him say that, but I almost thought that he was wrong. I thought that he could play that up until Final Four. I don't know. We'll have to look that up. Or somebody listening, call in and tell us or tweet us and tell us if Tony can use the special. Because
I still think it was a pretty strategic on his part, though. Even if he can't use it, if he's got some thinking he can, I think it was still strategic. Take him to Final Two. Take him with you all the way because the jury hates him.
He's so egotistical. I'd be surprised he wouldn't use his special power idol just to show everybody that he had it and what the power was.
Yeah, the other hand of that ego is that everybody knows he has them, and he's so safe and so brave that he doesn't use them. And he's still not going home. He didn't pull it out 2 weeks ago, and he should have, really.
Right, right. He got lucky.
Talk about
ego.
I
don't know about it being lucky. I just think he is, you know, it's not making it with the editing they're doing for us. He knew that he didn't have to play it last week. I mean, there's something going on that we're not seeing in the background, and you know, that's why I wonder what went on, like Sherry said, why he voted for Trish. I mean, he must have talked to Wu, and Wu probably said, you know, this is who I'm voting for, and he probably knew that there was no way, so why not vote Trish out? You know, no way that Cass would go out if Wu was, you know, switching up. So I don't know. There's a lot of things I think that we don't see with the editing they do. That's going on.
Right, but I kind of like that. I kind of like not knowing who's going home.
Oh, I do. And there's been a number of times I've gotten fooled. So it as a viewer, I do go, whoa, I can't believe that just happened, you know?
And Spencer, in the pre-show, the TV Guide channel does that pre-show, and Jeff Probst goes over the bios and introduces everyone to the castaways, and he said that Spencer has a 0.000% chance of making it in this game. He was 0% capable of playing this game. And look at him. Well, look where he is.
Exactly.
I don't think he's ever said that about another contestant ever.
Yeah, okay, well, here's my conspiracy mind, which I can't help but already be in with all the rumors for BB starting. But it makes me think that Spencer wins, and the reason that Jeff said that was to throw everyone off, because when Jeff does that show, the Survivor's already been taped, and it's in the can.
Brilliant.
So I'm kind of thinking maybe Spencer wins, and Jeff said that to
I would love
else.
That. That's
I
who
love
I
your mind.
We'll find out Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central.
Oh, I can't wait. And my husband just read something interesting today in the paper. This is a little off topic, but I have to say it. Regarding The Amazing Race, next season, you know, we've all, and I've been saying this for years, we've always had issues with sports messing up The Amazing Race on Sundays. And I've, for years now, said move The Amazing Race to a different day because I'm so tired of not knowing what time The Amazing Race is going to air, because on Sundays, either football or golf or something, you know, makes The Amazing Race air at different times. They, you know, they have sports on Sundays that changes the time constantly. Well, next season, The Amazing Race is going to start airing on Fridays.
Correct.
Well, I don't know where Rich saw that, but I saw that it was posted by Chi-Town Joe. I talked to him on the phone, too, and he saw that, and he posted it in the Rad Reality Show group page. He had found it confirmed as well on Fridays. So, and I agree with you, Cherry. I said, finally, because we all use DVRs. There is not a DVR out there that's smart enough to know when these things are going to air, because it could be 20 minutes late. It could be 30 minutes late. Sometimes it's an hour late. And if you're not at home and you're planning to DVR The Amazing Race, a lot of times you're screwed.
Right.
Yep.
Well, and not only that, you know, the sport delay is not for across the entire country. A lot of times it's by region and network. So, you know, I may be delayed for The Amazing Race, but Kim maybe isn't, and she's tweeting about it, and I see a spoiler. When I think I'm safe to be on because it's delayed. So, yeah, I love the I blame
during,
you for everything.
That's during the NFL, during football season, because not every region has a particular late game airing, and if you don't have a late game airing on your region, then it starts on time. I mean, I've had that happen several times and said to people, I think even to you, Cherry, you know, mine started late. You go, mine didn't.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
that's
and it used to be
so
that
me too.
I'm happy too, and it used to be that they would send shows to the Friday night lineup to die the slow death. But I think that's such an old thing. I don't think that happens anymore. Friday night shows are doing well. And so I think Amazing Race will do great on Friday night, and I look forward to it.
What's
me
going
too.
On in Amazing Race? I kind of fall out of it because it starts, you know, it starts like 20 minutes late all the time. And then I get started on something else, and I forget to switch back.
It is down to the final show, the finale. We're down to the final three teams, and Brendan and Rachel are in a final three again, and Dave and Connor, and believe it or not, Caroline and Jennifer, the country singers.
I kind of don't believe it, but good for them. So this will mean that Rachel and Brendan are going to have babies. If they win, right?
That's what
yes.
they say.
Well, and the finale is in Las Vegas, and Rachel used to live in Vegas, so that gives her a huge advantage.
Yep.
Vegas! I used to live in Vegas as well, so I'm very excited to watch this.
I own Vegas. I love Vegas.
It's going to be interesting just for the fact that David Copperfield is going to be part of the finale, and he's going to do some kind of an escape. What was it, Cherry? They have to do an escape?
Yes, they're like in a box, a big wooden box, and they have to pick a lock to get out of this box.
Wow.
And the commercial is actually, it almost scares you because it shows Connor inside this box trying to, there's a chain and a lock, and he's trying to get this lock open, and they're up on this roof of this big, you know, high rise, and David Copperfield's up there, and there's fire and flame and everything, and all of a sudden you hear this voice say, "We're going to have to call the fire department."
What?
And so you don't know what happens, of course, but you know, the commercials always try to scare you.
Well, a cliffhanger is always good for TV.
Right. So I'm sure it's nothing, you know, that's something just to tease us and you know, get the audience to be drawn in.
Well, it obviously worked.
Yeah. So that's the commercial. But they have to do some sort of David Copperfield escape to get out of this wooden box on a rooftop. And it goes from there. And then they have to sort of base jump, I believe. To the mat. They're not running to the mat this time. They're like base jumping.
Okay, good.
So the one thing we haven't seen is, you know, every Amazing Race final show has them doing like a memory game challenge of each leg of the race. And the only thing that I can figure out is they did show the Eye of the Mirage, you know, how they have the name of the hotel all in lights.
Yeah.
And the Eye of the Mirage is not lit, and it shows them handling the light bulbs. So I'm wondering if there isn't, like, answers to something on the light bulbs that they have to put the light bulbs in a certain way or something, and maybe that's the challenge that is that final challenge in some way or something. I don't know. I haven't figured it out yet, but that's my only guess. Because we haven't seen any hints of a challenge of them doing anything for that memory game kind of thing.
You know what I miss about The Amazing Race is that they used to have to drive themselves. They used to have to, like, follow a map. Now they can hop in a cab and go places, like, take me to this place, and then the cab driver gets them there. But you remember, like, they used to have to drive themselves?
They still do some driving on their own.
Yeah, they're still doing
stuff like that. I love that part.
Yes, and
well, that's right, because they did the electric cars.
the cabs, I mean, they're always the downfall of one team or the other. I mean, cabbies are always getting lost. You know, and if I was on the race, I would want to drive everywhere, not depend on those cab drivers, because,
I just loved how stressed they were. They would scream at each other, like, just read the map.
Yeah.
I love that. Oh, well. Well, who do you think's going to win? Who do you think, like, do you have a vibe? Do you feel like there's going to be a clear cut?
I don't, in my mind, in my opinion, I don't see a clear-cut winner between Dave and Connor and Brendan and Rachel. I think either one of those two are likely to be the winners. I just don't see the country singers, Caroline and Jennifer, taking it. I would be shocked if they won the whole thing. But between the other two teams, it's a toss-up in my mind. I mean, I love Dave and Connor. I love Brendan and Rachel, so it's even hard for me to say, you know, where does my heart lie?
Right.
Yeah. I can agree with it. I would like to see Brendan and Rachel win it. My concern with Dave and Connor is they have won, like, the last how many legs?
I don't know in a row, but I think I heard them say they'd won 6 first place. But
oh, wow.
I don't know if they were. Yeah, they weren't all in a row.
But they've won the last few in a row. And
yep.
When you have that momentum, you know, and you win so many in a row, just like Tasha, that luck always runs out. And this is a bad time for that luck to run out.
I miss Tasha.
Yeah.
So I'm concerned for them. And like Paul, you know, I like both of those teams so much. Dave and Connor were in first place when Dave had his injury and tore his Achilles heel and was taken out of the last race. And so, you know, they're such a nice team, and there's never been a father-son team to win the race. You know, I certainly wouldn't begrudge them if they won, although knowing Rachel and Brendan, I'm certainly pulling for them. And, of course, I want to see a little Brenchel baby.
Uh-huh. It's time.
But if Dave and Connor won, I couldn't be unhappy for them.
If Dave and Connor win, I'm going to throw a 2-year-old temper tantrum.
So we
That's
know
all.
Danny's heart. We know Danny is wanting Brendan and Rachel to win.
I think everyone wants them to win. Like, there's
pretty cute.
I kind of do. I just feel like they have they just have this thing about them. Like, you just want them to come on. You can do this.
Have you seen the clip? The little clip that I put on the Rad Reality group page.
No.
Oh my gosh, there is this video. I don't know who made it, but there is this wonderful video on YouTube that's about Brendan and Rachel being on The Amazing Race, and I think it's titled We Are Stars.
Yeah.
And it is just the most amazing video about them being on The Amazing Race, and it shows tons of clips of them being on there, and one of the best videos I've seen in a long time. And
does it include clips from their first season too?
Yes, it does. And it's just an awesome video. And I had to share it. I saw it on Twitter, and as soon as I saw it, I had to share it. It was just one of the best.
Jason in our chat room gives credit to Jeremy
yes,
Woods.
Jeremy Woods, that was it. Yeah.
Oh, Jeremy.
Is that my
well,
Jason,
for me.
My J-Man, JTV?
Yes, he's
yep.
in our chat room.
I love you, Jason.
Hi, Jason. Well, for me, it's not so much that I'm rooting for Brendan and Rachel. It's that I'm rooting against Dave and Connor and Jennifer and Carolyn. So by default, then, I want to see Brendan and Rachel win.
There you go.
And there you go.
Rachel
okay, so
being in her hometown.
Though, who do you guys, let's just say that the person you want to win is in final two, whatever. Who do you want to win for Survivor?
Are you asking
Spencer.
Me? Danny?
Everyone.
Yeah, I want Wu or Spencer, just because I for no other reason other than personal, just because I like them. They weren't the best at the game, but I liked them the most, so Woo or Spencer.
Sweet.
Woo,
that would be my two. I like Woo.
I have to agree with Danny on that. I love Woo's personality. I think he is so cool and laid back. I would love to hang with him. He is just my kind of people. When he gave his little speech last night during the tribal council, and he said he was like the foreign exchange student.
Oh, yeah.
I was rolling. That was one of the best. I just love that. He called Tony the dad, Trish the mom, and Cass the cranky sister, and he said, I'm like the foreign exchange student that just wants to tell him all the shit. He was so funny. I would love to hang with Woo. I mean, he is just...
He is funny.
He's
like an animated comic book when he talks to... He's like, I had my ninja move. When he took the clue from Spencer, you know, Spencer was like trying to find the idol, and Woo picked up his pants, and he's like, hey, you left your pants here, and the clue fell out.
Yes.
He went running through the woods with his ninja speed. Camera. Like, everything he does has that sense of play, and, you know, I love him for that. So, for me, it's Woo over Spencer, but if Spencer wins, I'm still cool with it.
Seeing him with
Tony,
the kid.
I can't stand the arrogance. I can't. I just can't.
I know.
Ugh, I can't.
Seeing Woo with the kids, I think his true personality came out when we got to see him entertain the kids. Oh, my gosh. He was right at home, had so much fun with the kids. That was a highlight for me. Now, Spencer, I think I would like to see him win simply because he has had to fight to be there every step of the way.
Yeah, he earned his
spot. I mean, oh, my gosh, that kid has had to fight to be there. It seems like from day one. And he's pulled through every step of the way. He's had to think and fight and do whatever it takes to keep his butt there.
He started off with a shit for brains team. Wasn't that what they were called?
Yep. Yes. Shit for brains team. And he's still there.
Yeah, but who would have thought that three brains would have lasted that long when we first started watching this season? They were just awful.
Of course, Kim Solari's coming up with a great question on our chat room, as she always does.
Yeah.
She wants to know, if Woo and Spencer were against each other in the finale, who do you think the jury would choose?
For me,
Woo or Spencer?
I think they would choose Spencer because I think that Spencer could articulate the reasons why he should be the winner, and I'm not sure, and all the things he's done and comps that he's won, I think that he would point out that Woo is probably on Tony's coattails most of the way. So I think it would be Spencer. That's my take. What about you guys?
I agree. I think that the jury would vote for Spencer because all he'd have to do is say that Woo did ride Tony's coattails, which he did, and Spencer's won more comps, and he was in the Minority Alliance when they merged and when they switched tribes. And so, yeah, I think that the jury... And they don't have anything against Spencer. They don't have anything against Woo either. So it's just going to come down to
you know, who won comps and who can say what they did and their strategy and the moves that they made. And I also think it'll be Spencer because Jeff Probst said that Spencer would not win.
Conspiracy.
Well, I want to know. I want to know what Kim thinks. I wondered where she was. Who does Kim think would take it?
While we're waiting for Kim to put her answer, Danny, I want to know I missed what Jeff Probst said. Can you repeat that?
Kim is the one that said what Jeff said during the the pre-show when they do the review of
TV
Survivor
Guide,
on the TV Guide
Network. Yeah.
Right. Apparently, and Kim, correct me if I'm wrong or feel free to say what you said, but apparently Jeff had said that there was a 0.00% chance that Spencer would win the game.
Oh, okay.
He's not even cut out to play the game. Yeah.
Okay.
That deep, yeah.
So we've got some...
We've got some
mixed
dissenters.
Reviews in the chat room.
Yep.
Kim says she definitely thinks Spencer. Boom Boom Room thinks Wu. Leah thinks Wu. Thomas thinks Spencer. So we've got a mixed review in the chat room.
I hope it does come down to those two. I really do. What do we think the likelihood is that it will come down to those two?
I don't think
it
will because I think Tony will be in final three. They take three. So I think that it's going to be...
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah. and I think it's going to be... cast Tony Wu or cast Tony Spencer.
Spencer, right.
But you think
so
Tony's
I think
in
you're
the final
see Tony
for sure. See, I do too.
Yeah, and I think cast will be too.
If he cannot use his idol this coming week and the remainder can pull together and get him out if he does not win immunity, how incredible would that be to see him get voted out in the last week before final?
I think it would
be a successful season for Survivor, because we've already talked about Survivor, and then we came right back to it, and we're still talking about Survivor new stuff. A great successful year for Survivor.
I know. Okay, so I guess we should switch gears and talk a little about True Tory.
This was a hard show.
Wait a minute.
Paul, did you watch it?
Yeah, but you also made comment last week that I should do some kind of an intro clip to this segment, and I did that, so.
Oh,
this segment has its own intro.
We do have a True Tory intro now, so here we go.
Dean and I have been married for 7 years. We have 4 amazing kids together. I thought our fairy tale would last forever. And then in one moment, everything changed. I know our marriage is worth fighting for, but can it survive? I'm Tori Spelling, and this is my story, True Tory.
Okay, well done.
Thank you.
That's so cool.
I love it. I love it.
But that, for people that don't watch the show, and I suspect that there are quite a few that don't watch it.
Including me.
I think that gives a little sense of what it really is about. But yeah.
Okay,
so
what's it about? It's about Dean cheating on her, right?
Yeah, but so much more.
And it's about her being a victim of Dean cheating on her. And why is it always the man's fault? That's all I want to know. I just want to know, why is it always the husband's fault?
There's an unpopular question.
Well, I don't think that it's the man's fault. I think that he's doing a lot of crappy things. He has this tendency to justify himself. Like, I said, I'm sorry. Can't you just move on? And she's kind of like, I want to be able to be upset with you. I want to be able to be hurt by this. And he's like,
she wants to be able to punish him. And, full disclosure here, I've not seen the show. I've never watched it, and I have not read anything about this. But, I mean, I can kind of figure it out. But I'll say typical fashion, she wants to constantly beat him over the head, punish him, never let him forget it, and make him suffer as much as she feels that she has suffered.
That speculation, Danny, it seems to me that it's somewhat come out as I watch the show, but it's also understandable when somebody is hurt in a really devastating way. They want somebody else to experience what they went through, and she kind of is, in my opinion, doing that. I mean, just think about, we haven't started at the beginning, but think about when he wants to go back to Toronto for, you know, his TV show. She doesn't want him to go there, but she says, but I don't want you to stay. I mean, it's just like, Anyway, I jumped ahead though.
I don't know. I just
actually
can't imagine.
That's a starting point, because that's really what this show was about. I don't feel like he's, like, when he says I'm sorry, it's like, I'm sorry, can you just not talk about it anymore? And she's like, but we've never talked about it. And he's like, I know, I don't want to talk about it. You know, I feel like if you're sorry, there's something humble that comes out of you, like, you know, I hurt you and I'm sorry. Instead, it's, I'm sorry, move on.
Right. Dean's only been home for 6 days at this point. And they begin the show with them at a session with Dr. Wexler, and Dean is breaking down.
When they were outside or in her office?
The show starts, I don't remember now if they were inside or outside, but he was breaking down, and that's when the doctor and Tori were questioning whether he was going to be able to handle, you know, going through this, you know, talking about, you know, how much pain he had caused Tori, and not knowing if he was ready to actually handle the sessions or not, and handle actually understanding, you know, the pain that he had put her through.
But he's also a recovering alcoholic and drug addict. Like, he was, like nose deep into coke and, you know,
and self-proclaimed sex addict as well.
Yeah, I don't buy into the whole coke addict
thing. Who goes on television and airs all of this? Especially when you have young children that are then later going to go and see all of this dirty laundry about their parents. I just don't get it. Like, who does that? Obviously, Tori and Dean do that, but, like, who does that?
I defended it at this first show. This current show, I was like, oh, my gosh, this should not be on TV, this part. But in the first show, she grew up on TV. She grew up, you know, so that is her norm. It's not my norm. But everything being televised, that is her comfort zone. That is her.
Yeah, her being a character and reading a script and lines and acting, she grew up on TV. But this
is her
real life.
Yeah, but even so, like,
life.
She did reality shows even before this. I really think that she is screwed up. I really feel like she has no clue. This is part of the whole process. She has no idea how to feel. Her, you know, own her own feelings, let alone express those feelings. Like, she doesn't even know how to say, I'm hurt, the fact that you slept with another woman. You know, they were at a Christmas party Skyping with Dean. She and the four kids were at a Christmas party. He was in Canada. They were Skyping, and he said, I have to go. I can't, you know, I can't stay, you know, I can't talk long, whatever. And
mm-hmm.
and because he was screwing around with this girl. So he, like, she's calling him to say, Merry Christmas, we love you and miss you, you know. And she, like, the revelation of that was like, whoa. So she's trying to figure it out, too. But this past one, like, I'm slowly coming to the point of, like, oh, my gosh, why is that on TV? So before, I felt like that's her norm. That is her comfort zone. And naturally, this would be played out on TV. I'm telling
you. I actually
bought
a couple of books last week about Tori.
Oh, yeah?
And, yeah. because I'm just wanting to get to know a little bit more about her. And one of the reasons that Tori has done the reality shows that she has done is because she sort of felt like she was fighting back against the tabloids, because every move that she made in her life, she was followed by the paparazzi and the tabloids so much, and the tabloids put out so much misinformation about her life, that she felt like if she didn't do, like, her own reality show to put the truth out there, that people would believe what the tabloids were saying. And she wanted her fans to see what was real and have her story told. And that's sort of where she started doing the reality shows, is she wanted to counteract all the tabloid stories and the lies and manipulation by the tabloid writers that were putting mistruths out there about her and her life. And she felt like, if I go on reality TV and let cameras see inside my life and see what's really going on, it will shut down those who are putting out mistruths about me. And, well, I think it was, a ball that started rolling, and I don't think she knows how to stop it now. And I don't know whether, this portion of her life really should have been aired on TV, simply thinking about her kids. I can't imagine growing up and going back and seeing all this, about your parents and, seeing yourself running around on a reality show as a toddler or whatever, and seeing that your parents went through this when you were that young, and everything was aired on a reality show for the world to see. I don't know what that would do to, a child as they grow up and grow older. I can't even imagine.
I agree with you, Cherry, about how the show started, but I'm feeling like it's evolved way beyond just her telling her story. I mean, she probably could have done that in one or two episodes, but now we're getting, there's so much more, and like you said, it's out there, years from now when the kids are older, and I just can't imagine how they'll react.
Yeah, my whole perspective on this, on what's happening on the show, has changed. I'm like, I had to try to watch it twice. I had to shut it off. I'm like, wow, this stuff shouldn't be on here.
Who does that?
I watched it. I had to watch it twice because I knew I'd be talking about it. And there's just so much. It's like every time I think of something, to say about it, it's like, that should never have been on air. Like, there's certain things that we should not know.
I find it very compelling to watch, although I'm still concerned about what it's going to do to the kids, But I have to say, it's very compelling to watch, and I do find myself very concerned for Tori. We just found out that she was hospitalized.
Yeah, that
and
would be.
I think that we're going to see, as we saw at the very end of this episode, I think we're going to see Tori's feelings coming out a lot more as the show, you know, continues. We've seen her hardly able to speak in the first few episodes. But now I think we're going to see her really
punish
start
him.
To explode. Yeah.
Now I think
well,
we're punishing. I really do. I feel like you nailed it.
Has anyone asked Tori, I guess anyone, I don't know who's involved in the show, therapist, whatever. Has anyone asked Tori, well, Tori, why did you cheat on your first husband? And then maybe, I'm not saying that this is, you know, karma or anything like that. What I'm saying is, has anyone asked her, what were the emotions involved and what was your mindset and thinking when you cheated on your first husband? Okay, and then she says what it is. Okay, now, put yourself in Dean. Why do you think that he cheated? What was his mindset? And maybe it would help her understand why Dean cheated on her.
Cheated. They were both married to someone else when they met, and they did talk
right.
about that, but it was not addressed to Tori. It was addressed, well, he was married when he met you. And I, until you just mentioned it, forgot that she was married to someone else.
Yes,
well,
they both cheated.
She did say she was on her way out of her relationship when she met Dean. He was actually, I think, still in a relationship when he met Tori, but she was actually on her way out of a relationship when they met.
That's what they all say, Cherry. And from what I recall way back whenever this was, 8-9 years ago, her husband was shocked. So for her to say that she was on the way out and all of that, I'm not buying it. It just makes her look a little bit better for cheating on her husband and not coming off as much as a homewrecker. Because remember, Dean was married with children. Tori did not have any
baby
children. She was
too.
Married. Yeah. So, you know, Tori, I think, was getting a lot of the crap for that cheating and she and Dean getting together as her being titled the homewrecker. And so I think that was probably a very convenient excuse to say that, you know, her relationship was already almost done. But, you know, I would love for somebody to just ask Tori, you know, what made you cheat? You know, was it lack of affection from your husband? Was it lack of self-esteem? What was it that drew you to cheat on your husband with Dean? And then let her answer that and then reflect on, oh, maybe that's what Dean was feeling, which is why he cheated on me. I don't know. It just seems common sense to me.
It makes total sense.
My hopes for this show, and it will be of redeeming, you know, nature if by the end of this series that they're healed, that Tori learns how to communicate, learns how to express her feelings, that Dean, you know, it recovers and their marriage is back together in a stronger way, because then the viewers that might be in those same situations that they're seeing right now can sit there and say, you know what, they went through it and they came through it and they worked hard at improving themselves and putting their marriage back together, their family back together, and we could do it too. But if it ends with, you know, things unresolved, and or splitting up, then I'd be upset. I don't know.
Yeah, I think they're going to stay together. I really do, because when she was in the hospital, and this would have been, what, 2 weeks ago, real time, that she was in the hospital, they were together. Like, he stayed at the hospital with her.
Is this, I mean, obviously it's not live, but is it pretty... like, how far ahead are they in filming versus real life?
I think
you
it's got to be maybe, like, at least 4 months. I'm thinking more like 5 months.
Oh,
because
okay.
It started at Christmas time.
Right. I would say five to 6 months.
show open up saying it was 3 months ago that he cheated or something like that? So I think it started like in March.
Well, it was 3 months ago that he cheated. That would have been Christmas time. Yeah, your timeline's perfect. So March, April, May. So 4 months maybe.
Well, have you seen anything about that they're getting a divorce or have filed for divorce?
No. The only thing I saw 2 weeks ago, Paul mentioned it, and I saw it too on, I think, maybe it was TMZ or something like that, that she was hospitalized for exhaustion and that he was at the hospital. He never left her side.
Well,
and
there you go. Spoiler alert, they stay together.
I really do. So, and maybe that's what changed my perspective on what was happening, what was being televised, you know. There's something very suspect to me. The first couple episodes, and I honestly believe that when this thing started, I don't think Tori knew that it was going to evolve into something just for TV. I kind of feel like this was a cathartic thing for her. Maybe I'll watch the episodes again and change my mind, but I feel like in the beginning it was sincere and raw, and now I kind of feel like this just doesn't feel right.
It's gone from reality to scripted, maybe?
I kind of feel that it has a little bit, yeah. I feel like they're dealing with real issues, but I kind of feel like they're being prompted, almost like DR session, you know?
Right.
How did you really feel when he said that? Well, maybe you should tell him. You know, tell him at 9 o'clock when the cameras are rolling. You know? What happened on the show, this, and it was like, this doesn't feel right. She was gone. She was at a meeting for the show that she's doing. And he was home with the kids. And he's like, okay, you guys, go to bed. I'm going to do something nice for Mommy. And so he's making sushi and stuff like that for her. And he had a couple gifts. The gifts were extremely thoughtful. He did a map of the world, and then he had the lady put tags on all the places that they've been around the world. Like, this is where we conceived, you know, this child, and this is where we met, and this is where I proposed. Very sweet gift. Love the gift. But anyway, he's making sushi. Well, she comes home, and she's running in. She's like, I'm sorry, I'm late. Are the kids in bed? And he's like, don't look, just go in the room. Now, me, I would be like, what do you mean don't look? What's going on? What are you doing? She's like, oh, okay. You know, you don't do that. You have questions. If somebody says don't look, go in the other room.
Yeah,
right?
And how about her questioning why he had oysters?
The haircut.
There? I mean,
right.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the haircut.
Okay,
yeah,
so here you go. So here's a little, you know, just marriage common sense to me. Why would a husband continue to do nice and thoughtful things for a wife when all she's going to do is beat him over the head for it, right? Like, why are you doing that? Now, again, I haven't seen the show. I'm just going based on what you guys are saying. So she's questioning him, why are you doing this? Well, why wouldn't you as a wife say, honey, thank you so much. You put so much thought into this. I really appreciate it. It's positive reinforcement. It's. Listen, you have to treat your husband the same way that you do your children, or in my case, my children who are dogs, right? It's positive reinforcement. You know, and I see it with friends with their husbands. You know, a husband will be nice and he'll decide that, you know, he's going to clean the house for his wife that day. And when she comes home, instead of seeing that he cleaned the house and thanking him and appreciating it, instead she points out all the things he did wrong in cleaning the house. Well, anybody, a man or a woman, but especially men, sorry, Paul, I'm not a man basher by any means, but especially men need positive reinforcement. And if you're going to constantly beat them over the head for what they do wrong, they will get to a point to say, why bother? I mean, why bother doing anything if it's not going to be appreciated?
Exactly.
Well, she did thank him. Like, once my question was more, why didn't she question what he was doing? She came home late and he said, don't be in here, go somewhere else. I would question that. But whenever she did it, she was like, yeah, this is awesome. You know, like the positive reinforcement was definitely there. But where was the why? What are you doing that I can't see?
Right, especially, right. That's where the scripting comes in.
Yeah, like, okay, when you get there, apologize for being late and then go in the other room, you know? If my husband cheated and I'm having a hard time dealing with trust issues and I come home late and he says, don't come in here, go into the other room, my first question is, boom, 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 slam the door open, what are you doing?
All right, but you're watching it thinking that there's no cameraman or crew in there. She knows that he would not be doing anything, you know, like cheating or something while a camera crew is there. But wasn't there a part?
She doesn't know if the cameras were running. He could be talking on the phone. He could be Skyping.
Right.
He could be, you know, he could be making out with an apple pie. You don't know.
There was, from what Danny brought up, there was a segment earlier in the episode where Tori actually says, well, I guess I should compliment him on this. You know, what was it? He was in the kitchen. Do you have the notes on that, Cherry, hopefully? You know what I'm talking about?
No.
But there was a segment where she actually said to the camera, you know, that she needed to give him positive reinforcement, and she actually went ahead and thanked him. Or remember that part? It was in the kitchen, I think.
Yeah. She was with the kids, and she's like, I really should go and make sure I let him know. Because she was like, this was really wonderful. She was telling the camera. And then she's like, I really need to go and let him know that now.
That was after he brought home the
the dragons.
The bearded dragons.
That's
he went
right.
and got two bearded dragons for the kids, for the house. Yeah, that was such a sweet gesture, too.
And they were both, one had something wrong with its eye and one had something wrong with its foot, and they had both been returned to the pet store. But, you know, Dean adopted them anyway, you know, to give them a good home, and which is a nice gesture, you know, so they don't get put down. And,
right.
They're going to give them a good home, and that, you know, teaches kids a good lesson. And Tori is such a big animal advocate, and she wanted to say, you know, thank you. You know, it's a wonderful thing you did. You know,
yeah.
It made all of our family smile. And I think that is important when somebody else does something nice for you that makes you smile, and especially that makes your, you know, all of your kids smile like that, that you do acknowledge, you know, their gesture and let them know that you appreciate it.
It's common courtesy, just as you would a stranger. I mean, if you thank a stranger
yeah.
for opening the door for you, why would you not thank your husband or thank your wife or thank your child? But, you know, unfortunately, I see too often in marriages that spouses are taken for granted, and especially when, you know, children come along, suddenly the husband is, you know, given the back seat, and the children become the priority, and they're kind of the forgotten ones. And I think that common courtesy to your spouse goes out the window, and they should be given as much courtesy as a stranger is. Someone does something nice to you or for you, you thank them. Husband or stranger, doesn't matter. Don't forget to thank your husband. And that's my
right.
public service announcement.
Don't forget to pay the lady.
Don't forget to thank your husband.
Thank your husband. Tonight,
Cherry,
ladies.
Cherry, you caught that, didn't you?
Pardon me?
Well, I said, don't forget to pay the lady.
Yes. Absolutely.
Storage
so
War.
So who's watching The
show.
Voice?
I actually have missed the last two episodes, so you can go ahead and tell me, is my girl gone?
Oh, Paul, I'm so sorry to tell you.
Oh, no.
First it's the Wild that get booted, and now Kat Perkins. Oh, well.
I'm so sorry to break the news.
you
know,
sounds-
she...
She held on for so long, though. I mean, she was saved by the Twitter vote twice.
Yep.
And that's almost unheard of. And she was up for the Twitter vote a third time, and I thought she may get it, but the young girl, and now her name is going to escape me. Doggone it. Kimmy. I think it's her name.
Start with
I'm going to Google it. Check it out.
Yes, Google, please.
I'm doing it. Keep talking. I'll get you the voice. I'll get you the name.
Okay.
Christina Gimme.
Yes, Christina
Grimmy.
Grimmy.
Okay.
Actually got the Twitter vote and beat
her in the...
What was
the percent, do you remember?
I'm looking now.
A landslide. It was
big. Wow.
Really big. It was her and Kristen. It was Kristen, Kat, and Christina. All in the Twitter vote. And Christina and Kat were both Team Adam, his final two contestants. And then Kristen was gosh, my mind just won't work tonight. The girl coach.
Shakira.
Is it Shakira?
Shakira. That was her final contestant. And Jake was saved first. So he's in the final. And Usher's guy, I can't remember his name either, was saved.
Josh?
Yes, was saved.
Okay.
And so then it went down to the Twitter vote for the Christina, Kristen, and Kat.
So they eliminated
what
Grimmy?
Was the finals?
Grimmy had 531,000 Twitter votes, and the other two had less than 50,000 each.
Wow.
Wow.
So there you go.
Well,
yeah, I knew it was a landslide.
I kind of felt the writing on the wall when Kat was in the bottom three 2 weeks in a row, so I kind of felt like it's you really can't come back from something like that. You're about ready to go. But I am upset with them this far along eliminating so many people at once, last week too, this week too. It seems like when we get down to this few people, they should do it one at a time. But, well, it doesn't matter. Nobody cares about my opinion.
Of course we do, Paul. I kind of agree with you. I mean, I really liked the way they changed the format this year, up until we get down to this point where they're letting so many go all at once, and I don't care for that. It seems like too many good people are going that shouldn't go. And they should have weeded out some of the people earlier that didn't need to be there and gotten it down to where they could, you know, let one person at a time go here at the end. I don't know how they could change that, but I mean, the format's been really good. I liked having, you know, two battle rounds early on. That was a lot of fun. It was a good format until they got down to this end, and it's been really tough watching them go. But, you know, once they make it this far on The Voice, they're going to have a career. There's just no doubt about it.
It's all up to them, and they have to continue, you know, working hard once they leave the show. But they have recognition now, and if they, you know, work hard at it, I think they can still, you know, make a name for themselves.
I really feel like there's so much more potential coming off The Voice than what's been coming off of American Idol.
Oh, my gosh. There's not even a comparison.
Right?
And it was announced, I believe, yesterday that American Idol is going to be down to one day a week next year.
That says a lot.
So you know that they have to be really tanking in the ratings if they're going to go down to one day a week.
Yeah.
So I think American Idol has just, you know, seen its better days. And The Voice has everything that American Idol didn't. They just have that perfect recipe. I've said it before and I'll say it again. They have what you tune in to watch a show for. If you're going to watch a competition like that, you know, they don't judge by person's looks for one. And that was the premise of the show. But then they also have, you know, those special moments where you get to see the family, you know, them rooting for, you know, their person while they're singing, you get to see the family or their friends or whatever off in the little booth on the side. You get to hear their backstory. The judges all, you know, get to have, you know, a little fun, and they have some comedy along the way. And they just have everything that you kind of tune in for. They have the competition. They have the family aspect. They have, you know, the drama. They have a little comedy. They have everything that you kind of want to see in a show. And American Idol just didn't seem to have all that. They had more bickering and just sort of ugliness and tenseness, and nobody seemed to get along. And
the judges, you mean? Yeah.
Yeah, the judges were nasty to people, and I don't know. It just wasn't fun to watch anymore.
Yeah. I like Simon Cowell, but I'll tell you, Harry Connick Jr., he's a great judge.
Yeah, he's been on The Voice as a mentor.
Mentor?
Yeah.
And he is. He's really good.
Yeah, he's probably my favorite judge. He's blunt. He's just flat out honest, but he doesn't have that sort of arrogance. You know, a lot of people really love Simon Cowell, and I loved his honesty. But sometimes, like the way he fought with like Paula Abdul, or you know, like I didn't like that judge interaction, like you were saying earlier.
Yeah, I stopped watching Idol quite a long time ago. The early portion of American Idol, where all they showed was the fools that can't sing, got really old to me right away. You know, I mean, it was funny the first couple of years, but after that it just got really old, you know.
Right.
And then after that, it just seemed to be redundant, so redundant. And I do like Simon Cowell. I thought he was great, you know, early on American Idol.
Right.
I just couldn't stick with it.
Yeah.
So
I think The Voice has you know, it's gonna stick around. I don't think what happened with X Factor? X Factor, it's done now or something? It's not renewed? What was the deal with that? I just read something about it.
I think that's done as well. I think that's been canceled, as far, I believe.
Yeah, yep. I thought so. So there you have that, too.
Simon needs to come out with a new show.
Yeah. America's Got Talent, there's another one, too, that I don't, I try to watch and then I just don't. There's so many. Sorry, I get off track.
There's so many. So many reality shows, so little time.
Oh, I did watch the Alaskan Bush People, just for you.
Yeah!
I'm addicted. I'm totally going to watch this show.
I watched one episode, and I said, this is a show that I'm going to watch. I have to admit that I recorded episode two and haven't watched it yet, but just watching the first episode, I thought this is going to be a winner, so.
Yeah. It's so good. It's funny. It's very funny.
So tell me
what
it's about.
And each one of those kids really is so unique.
Oh, they're super quirky. They're very level-headed,
yeah.
You know, smart people, but they have no idea what they're up against. Alaska, of all places. Go ahead and give the premise, Paul, like you did last time. That was perfect.
So this is a husband and wife that moved to Alaska, southern part of Alaska, built a beautiful cabin, and turns out that they had no right to build it where they did. It's been like, 30 years, I think, they've been living off the land, and they started having kids, and supposedly, it's not proven, but they say that the government ended up burning down their cabin because it wasn't on their own property. So they bought way up further north in Canada, they bought some land out in the middle of nowhere, and they get up there, and the show starts off when they just have to clear the trees from where they're going to build their new house, and they have to, I mean, they've got they've got seven kids, five boys and two girls, and they basically live off the land and are trying to build a new home, and it's, I don't know. I probably did better the first time.
Interesting.
Well, and they are, and they, like, they're just living in this tiny little, like, makeshift shelter while they're building. And I'll give you a teaser, Paul. I won't tell you too much, but winter came 2 weeks early.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, Danny, I actually kind of think this is a show you would like, too.
Okay, you'll have to tell me what it is. What did you say, Alaskan Bush?
Alaskan Bush People, and it's on Tuesdays. It's after, what did you say? It was after Deadliest
Catch?
Yeah.
It's on Discovery.
Okay. Yeah.
Does anybody else watch Deadliest Catch?
Nope.
No, I told you they have potty mouths.
I'm an episode behind, but I am watching it. Sorry.
They had I did catch a piece of it. They had like a clips show.
Yes.
Okay, I did see a piece of it. I tried.
Yes, I've been watching that show for years and years and years, and this is its 10th season, and that's been a show that has, you know, you've watched kids grow up on that show. It's probably the hardest job ever.
Oh, yeah.
And to see those guys go out and do what they do, they never expected that show to take off. They thought it would be a like a one season sort of documentary, and that would be it. I never expected that show to take off the way it has. And
well, what was the perspective? Deadliest Catch has been on the air longer than the A-Team and Gilligan's Island combined.
What? Now, Gilligan's Island. Now, that's a reality show we could talk about.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know how real that was.
What? What do you mean? I thought Survivor was based on Gilligan's Island. I've been wrong all this time. Are you kidding me?
I think Big Brother was, too.
Oh, my gosh. I love Gilligan's Island, though.
I can still, like, we all know the theme song, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, of course.
Ridiculous. But the funny thing about theme songs, I sing along to the Survivor theme song.
Oh, yeah,
you
I never
words?
Fast forward through that.
I love the Survivor theme song.
What's the words?
I can't. Yes, that's exactly it.
Bring it for us.
Great. You know. Now I'm going to have a Gilligan's Island theme song stuck in my head. Thanks a lot, Kim.
I'm here. I leave a lasting impression.
How funny.
Oh, this is funny.
Well, I've enjoyed having you guys with us tonight. It's been a blast.
Yes. This has been a lot of fun. I love talking to you guys. It's mostly just silliness, just talking about stuff I love.
You know, we all do the same thing, and just to have you guys come on and talk about reality shows and
yep.
just be here with us. And go ahead, Paul.
I was just going to say, before we run out of time, I want to make sure both Danny and Kim, if they want to talk about what they're doing or, you know, preview their up Big Brother
there.
Season. Oh, cool. You're in my head again, Cherry, or I'm in yours.
Well, I've started getting BigBrotherAllSummer.com ready for Big Brother 16. I have some open polls on there, some rumors on there, the new logo. So if you get a chance, go and check out BigBrotherAllSummer.com. And I'll be doing live feed updates on Twitter this summer as well. So follow me on Twitter at BBAllSummer. And Eavesdropping with Judd Nation will return the week of June 16th. We will be doing Big Brother 16 this summer, so I'm looking forward to that. I'm not sure who our guest will be, but, you know, Judd usually has some former house guests lined up, and I know that we may have Adele on the show sometime soon, too. So keep an eye out for that announcement.
Awesome.
I'm so excited that Eavesdropping is coming back. I love that show.
Thank you.
Oh, thank
Everybody
you.
Everybody loves Judd.
Yeah.
Hey, what am I, chopped liver?
Well, we love you too, Danny.
That goes without saying. That is a universal understood. For us, Kyle and Paul, they're pulling out The Outsiders. They're going to do a couple shows with their fellow house guests, and we're thinking we're going to start that this weekend.
Yay!
Yeah, very excited about that. So it's at The Reality Room and at The Reality Rooms for us on Twitter.
Awesome.
Yeah. I'm excited. I can't wait. I want to hear the full, just unedited versions of what the rap parties were like.
Yep.
I can't wait.
That'll be fun.
Next.
All right, guys. Well, that's it for me. Thank you so much for having me on. It was great to talk to fellow fans about reality. I could do this all day, every day, or all day, all night.
And
we'll have to have
looking...
you come back on, Danny, during the Big Brother season and chat with us again about Big Brother during the Big Brother season. You know, you're always invited to call in and chat with us. And we have not only Michelle Costa doing Manic Mondays on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, but we also have Cowboy coming back for his show, the Reality Roundtable show, during Big Brother. So we have two shows going on during the Big Brother season. And so you're always invited to call back in, talk Big Brother with us. And Kim, you are as well. You know that you're at home here. So you're always welcome to call in and talk Big Brother with us. And this is a place where everybody's welcome to call in, chat about your favorite reality shows. And, of course, Big Brother is our main show because we have so many people from Big Brother who have, you know, been with us for so long, and it's sort of our starship show. So make sure that you come back and join us during the Big Brother season, which is coming up June 25th. It's going to be here before we know it. So
yes, that's 40 for everyone counting. That's 40 days, 21 hours, 3 minutes, and 29 seconds.
Now, there is a fan for you, down to the second.
She has an actual counter on her website. It's like a ticker, and it just keeps rolling, the countdown.
I used to have one of those on my Facebook page.
There you go. I didn't know Facebook would do stuff like that.
Yep.
Hmm.
But get everything done that you have to get done, because 40 days is going to fly by before you know it, and then, like we talked about earlier, life is going to change for all of us. We're going to be glued to our computers watching live feeds, and everything else is going to get neglected. So get everything done you have to get done. Be prepared to be stuck to those live feeds. I'm hoping that this season is the best yet. I don't know what's coming up for this season yet. Rumors are flying. The rumor mills are starting to churn. I don't even want to go into the rumors that are flying out there right now.
Not
I mean,
time, right?
There isn't. But I do want to thank you, ladies, for joining us. We've got to wrap it up. We've only got a couple minutes left. Make sure you come back here Sunday night for our Amazing Race Second Pit Stop show at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. Then back here again on Monday for the Manic Monday show with Michelle Costa from Big Brother Season 10. We're going to wrap this one up. Thank you all for joining us. Thank you, everybody in the chat room. It's been fun. We've got a lot of our regulars out there in the chat room. Thank you all for being here with us. And thank you to all of you who listen via podcast. We love you. We're going to wrap this up with Ron, as we always do. Take care, everybody. Have a great weekend. Good night.
Peace out.
I want to finish off the show with a little music and say to all of my listeners, thank you guys, and thank you all for coming in.
God bless you, and thank you for listening to the show. And it was a great one.
It was a great one. As I said before, have a great weekend, and we'll see you on Sunday. God bless. Good night. Say good night, Paul.
Good night.